Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge 3030 Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 4. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
We didn't get it to be continued. I'm thrilled. It seems that we have reset. Hopefully, I'm not saying we'll never get one in the future, but I was very happy to have a still, I thought, entertaining episode, even though we only had one challenge, with no to be continued resolution, people. Resolution. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. I have to say, I'm so into this season and this format that even if they're doing to be continued, I'm good with it. I'm already prepared for the season to go to like Christmas with the amount of like twists and turns. I'm prepared to how many people are left. So I'm just enjoying this format, enjoying all the backstabbing, and I'm all in on the season.
I think Will Simon wrote to us that like potentially there are plans. There's 15 episodes planned of the season, which puts it at a bit longer than the usual, but it kind of goes with all of the press and stuff. The challenge has been, or MTV has been putting behind the challenge this season, which is exciting. I don't know about you, but like my friends have been contacting me like, oh, I saw a thing for that show you like blather about. Have you been getting any extra, I don't know if attention's the word, but ridicule maybe?
Not extra. Just for myself, I've just seen a lot of stuff. No one's really called out to me. I guess a lot of my friends already watch, so they're just like, I guess it hasn't already, like, it doesn't register for them. But for me personally, I've seen, like, commercials and ads pop up all over the place. So I think they're definitely going all in trying to advertise this, so that's good.
Yeah, and the only mood killer that could possibly come from this is the fact that we got no five-star reviews, but I guess no non-five-star reviews. That's good. If you want to leave us your feedback, you can do so as robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And it stands to reason, because last week I thought was like a great show for us and nobody gave a shit. So just, you know, shows how much I know.
You never know when these pop up. It's always randomly.
We do have a correction. Apparently like Dario and Leroy are like known friends outside of the show. So apologies. So it's a complicated tapestry.
I'm not a positive.
Together, these people's relationships.
I'm not a positive because I think everyone who is even somewhat friends with Leroy thinks they're his best friend because Leroy's just that nice a person. So I'm not even apologizing. I think they just know each other and Dario thinks that they're best friends. I'm going with that.
All right. Now you're going to make me go to the comment on Rob his website to just like, so we don't get it. I don't want to deal with the same corrections week after week. So we will get to the bottom of it because that's what we're here to do. Robic Leica says Dario calls Leroy his best friend from the challenge and said that when he was in Vegas that Leroy would let him stay at his place and use his car. Now Dario lives there with Ashley K and he hangs out with Leroy pretty often, so I think he was never even thinking of throwing Leroy in before Derek.
I stand by that
what you will, Brian.
I stand by. I think Leroy's just best friends with everyone.
Okay, well, you know who's not just best friends with everyone? The
Corey.
Renegade squad that we always sort of seem to get in these seasons. Yeah, Hunter, Corey, and Nelson. So we get like the three musketeers that nobody asked for at the start of this episode. What do you think of this band of brothers?
It's very confusing because if you're trying to like plot each of these like seasons as like trajectories, didn't we end with Corey and Nelson hating each other at the end of last season and they spilling into the reunion, and now they're each calling each other like they're ride or die?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like process of elimination, like when you're like at a party or a wedding and it's like the one person you know, even if you like them the least, like you're doing your best. But I don't know. Yeah, I think the last time we saw Nelson take food out of Corey's mouth basically by with the three-way tug of war between Shane, Corey, and Nelson, I think there was always that, like, did he actually run to the middle, even though we know he did not run to the middle?
Right. The Bro Alliance, they have their sights set on Bananas, which usually feels like that's the main target of all these, like, Renegades Alliance. They always want to take their big shot at Bananas. Corey spearheading it. Nelson and Hunter claim they're behind it.
I do think it's interesting here when we see Leroy ask Bananas, because like if you are like me and forget we left off at basically about to deliberation for the elimination, and I thought Bananas really played it well here by saying it's like your guys' call Not always the bananas we've seen, but I think to sort of have that Sandra Diaz-Twine anyone but me strategy here at this stage in the game was very smart playing, in my opinion, for bananas.
Yeah, I think he could read the room that this is going to be like a long grind to get through this season, because there's a lot of avenues to avoid each week to avoid being thrown in. First, you have to just stay in the whatever the top half, then the bottom half can vote you in, and then you have the double cross. There's so many avenues to jump in that there's no point of like staking your claim early and trying to avoid to be like the face of the alliance. It's very hard for him, obviously, but I mean, at least he's trying, and hopefully for him, he's probably hoping like a CT or a Derek, someone pops off like, to one of the other people, and then they become the big target for the week or two.
Right, and this week is on the girl side. With the men, Jemmy really starts here saying like, you can see the alliances, and she's doing this, it's like a voiceover of Jenna and Kayla if Mary Kate and Ashley made a workout video in the 90s, like patty cake sit-ups and all of this. And I'm starting to feel like as nauseated by Kayla and Jenna as I was by Derek. What do you think of Team Jayla?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to get like a read. Like the edit is putting them together as like this like duo that spends all their time together. But I mean, Kayla was like an outcast last season. I don't see why she would like. I kind of respect her for not pretending to be friends with people. I mean, I guess it's not great gameplay, but she was the outsider last season. Everyone hated her. So for her just to stick with Jenna, I kind of get. It's not like great strategy, obviously, to like segregate yourself from the entire crew, but I think they thought they had enough built-in alliances and friendships to make it last. Obviously, that's definitely not the case.
I really thought that Kayla was going to be grandfathered into the veteran alliance through Jenna. It's surprising to me to see that Jenna is sort of an island of one. You know, I don't know where she lost. Where she's sort of lost the support of these veteran guys, but I was always under the impression that after the whole when she started dating Zach, that she sort of got at least better relationship, made better relationships with people.
That's what I thought, but I mean, unless like the it, more so kind of under the report of maybe like the younger crop girls is really more the story about overtaking like the power girls. I mean, Camilla was a target, but she wasn't thrown in, but she was tossed around. Obviously, Kayla and Jenna were tossed around. So, I mean, like the headline is the fact that like Corey and Nelson are trying to take down the top guys, but it looks like it's definitely going on the other side too. And so people like a Kayla, maybe a Cara Maria, they are going to be people to like look out for to be voted in early and often.
I thought it was very interesting, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, but just that the men seem to go after who they perceive to be the weaker man on their side for elimination, and the women are sort of the weaker women banding against the stronger women. So it'll be interesting to see as the season plays out. We have a question about the women's alliance. Will Simon says, since you're both pretty down on her in the preseason, no regrets. Did Marie's actions in tonight's episode make you reevaluate whether she should have been cast on the season?
I mean, not say reevaluate. I mean, it's great that she's like doing something. I mean, if she has like a good season, I'm not going to all of a sudden regret that she shouldn't be on. I'd still stand by that she shouldn't have. She's not someone I was like excited to see. But if she has like a compelling season arc, good for her. But for now, I think, you know, just talking about getting people out, it seemed like she was even like regretting the move that she tried to make to begin with. So it's hard to kind of give her like total props.
Yeah, I'm frustrated by Marie always because she had huge potential in the real world and she's been sort of a dud on the challenge. And it seems like from social media, from, you know, Twitter, Instagram, that she has great relationships with great women in the house. And I'm just like, there's something that's just not popping on camera. So this Marie scheming doesn't really change how I feel overall. If she continues to be a presence, I'll be happy if anything, because I feel like it's really disappointing that she hasn't really shown on the challenge.
I do appreciate her self-awareness of knowing like, oh, I probably can't beat these girls, so I should probably figure out a way to get them out, knowing that I can't do it, which for some of the guys is something they should probably take note of.
Fair point. I'm like tempted to just skip Redemption House. I don't know. Like, is it bad that I don't care at all what's happening in the Redemption House?
It's the only reason why we wouldn't care is because we just don't know like the setup. Like Devin talking about this as a team, like I never thought that was a possibility at all. I don't like, I'm good for him. Like thinking about all the possibilities and trying to gather like an alliance, but Is there any other scenario than like just one guy and one girl coming out of the house and rejoining the game?
Yeah, so we got some questions about that that I'll go to now. But the thing with the Redemption House that bothers me is, like, to me, like, you're out. You're a loser. You lost. Like, I don't want to watch you anymore. And when you come back, fine, then I'll watch you again. But, like, I don't care about these people going out and Devin being like, I need one woman and one man who will have my back in Redemption. Like, I'll deal with it next week when we see you. Will Simon said that from what he heard, Redemption House will continue to exist until near end of the game. So we'll just have a redemption challenge every few episodes. And it may not just be a one and done.
So that's why this goes for like ever, because like every few episodes someone just rejoins the game. That's going to be very frustrating.
I don't know if it's somehow like you get eliminated from the possibility of joining the game, or if you get added to the game. You know, like, I don't know if they just like send home a group of people from the Redemption House. I really don't know. I think Devin's instinct is right. I'm like you. I never thought it would be a team. How he said it, it is sort of like the outcast tribe and Survivor, but I think it would be interesting. We know for sure or there's going to be some opportunity for someone, whether in the house currently or in the Redemption House, to exercise some sort of control or cutthroat behavior. So it'll be interesting, I think, when they come back. I'm excited to see them seem to be teasing it next week. I just for now don't care about them going sick. And Amanda being drunk, like, it's just not something. A lot of stuff's happening in the house. I'd rather see the people still in the house.
Yeah, that's totally fair, especially because there was like one of the more strategic discussion episodes the challenge has had in a while. So I kind of do wish we saw a little more of it and less of, yeah, you know, Amanda and Devin getting drunk.
And I think it's one of the most besides Camilla at the reunion last year, this might be the most mesh we've ever seen on a contestant in Ammo and his going out outfit.
Yeah, you know what? Good for him. He doesn't give it. You know what? He's doing him. Good for him.
I think it looked good. If I looked like that, maybe I'd be wearing mesh and just underwear. But for now, I have to wear clothes.
Yeah,
because
I'm not ready to pull that off. Yeah, not ready to do that.
We do see here, like, and somebody asked a question. We thought the end. It was getting too obvious here where Jenna says like she's in the best position because Kayla will never cross her. Like, you get an episode of reality television, I don't care what show, where somebody says I'm in the best position, that's their goodbye episode.
Yeah, that's like the, oh, I wish we could just go to travel cancel, or I would never be voted. Yeah, that's the kiss of death, the no whammy, no whammy, whammy.
And I will say we got some questions about bananas this episode, I'll get to later, but I'm getting really sick of Corey's just like open, I'm against bananas, I'm gonna take you out, shows up later when he votes for him. But you have to be so combative, you can't just like go to the bar and you have to start a fight. And then I mean, you can't be happy with Nelson here coming out of nowhere.
This is the classic like hold me back fight. Like, there was no chance Nelson was gonna do anything other than start yelling, pushing like a security guard just so they have to grab him and pull him aside, because he wasn't going to do anything. He's a drunk mess trying to just like look tough. And that's classic Nelson.
What's up, bro? What's up, bro?
Yeah.
What is up, Nelson? Like, I really would have been like, you know, but even Corey sort of does. Nelson really that's it. But Corey, where he's, this ain't your game anymore. Like, do something that shows that and then say that. Like, that's fine. I'm thrilled to see. Always thrilled to see two sides of the house. Somebody bananas, but to come at bananas, who is better than like he's not, is like, it just was so, it felt so flat to me. And yeah, with drunk Nelson, like, they're not paying producers enough to look Nelson in the drunk eyes and reason with him. Like, when they showed that moment where the producer takes him to the side, that, like, we call this the lights are out and no one was home.
Yep, or also known as the Tony.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you eat your eggs when you cook drunk eggs?
I don't
just all on one fork.
I don't. Well, that's a wild move. I've never seen anyone like put like a entire scrambled egg on a single fork before. Like, that, I can't believe it's like stayed steady. Like, that's like, he needs a balance challenge and maybe he'll actually win something.
Brian, how would you react if I told you you looked like my mom at 60?
Well, I feel like I would probably take offense, but it's a weird insult to like dole out, because it's like also insulting your mom. So like, I don't, or maybe you're complimenting your mom. It's a very just weird insult to like compare someone else to your own mom.
I will say if this were an isolated incident for Tony, like if this wasn't tragic and Tony didn't have a problem and we didn't know about the multiple kids, multiple women that we saw unfold and all the issues that I'm so sick of seeing for Tony, this would be my favorite drunk Tony moment. Because when he gets angry at something he said repeated to him, that is hysterical. Like that, if this were just like a regular drunk person, I would think this was funny. But it's so sad, it almost doesn't allow me to enjoy it. But he starts like baring his teeth, waving around that like electric green booger colored lollipop. It was pretty priceless until I realized how sad it really is.
Yeah, it's very sad. It's definitely getting to the point where Tony needs to just like go away from cameras for a little while, if not forever. Like he needs to get his life in order. It's not great.
I will say it's not great. Let's just say we're less than thrilled. Yeah. I will say Kara saying it's not my fault that Tony doesn't know how to use a condom is like a real finally moment for me, because I'm getting so sick of the fact that everyone treats Tony with kid gloves because he has two children. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't something that happened to him. It's something that he took part in and did. Like, this is not like, oh, like he's got a broken leg or like, right. Oh, like, you know, whatever. His two children are his choice and responsibility. So I was like, when Bananas is trying to defend him, I mean, really friendly, nice move by Bananas to get him out of the situation. But it is not a defense that he has children.
Yeah. And speaking, do you think he's Bananas? Maybe he's also matured. This is the Bizarro Rivals move, right? Where last time he let the dogs go after Tony. Let's let him say after Camilla. This time he calms them down. So he's maturing.
Yeah, no, I think Bananas does feel guilty about that. And also, like, Bananas, like, Bananas isn't at the point anymore where he's getting, like, wasted. I mean, we did see him not that long ago, like, inciting that and inciting the fight with Abe and Kara and Tom. But I don't know. I think Bananas really does care about Tony. And because Bananas is so smart about, we've talked about this a lot, that Bananas just hyper aware of the cameras and what the producers want to see and what they don't want to see. Like, Bananas really, I think, can sense when something is going to go off the rails and has just like really good camera sense, which Tony has none of.
Agreed. Well, Tony has very little sense of anything ever.
Well, moving to the winner's meeting. What do you think of everyone's rationale from CT wanting ammo? Oh, because he wants a strong team to Leroy's strategy of throwing an ammo to make the guys show their cards with who to double cross.
Yeah, for CT, I totally expect him to say that at the very CT move to want the strong people around him to help him win. Like I could have guessed that that's where CT's mind would jump to. For Leroy, I love this mindset. This is my favorite Leroy, I think, of all Leroys. He feels so focused. And he's trying to learn how to swim. He's getting strategic. All of the faults in Leroy's game are starting to come together. And this could be a pinnacle Leroy season.
Yeah, I think Leroy has always kind of shown good game sense in between like massive blunders. But this was really huge. I thought it was genius, something I didn't think about. Not that I'm always thinking about the strategy of this, but like, it didn't come to fruition really because Nelson's the one who gets the double cross, but like it would have been very, very interesting to see what else could have happened. Although I do think, what do you think? I think if almost anyone else picked it, it would have been Nelson going in, right?
Yeah, probably. That probably would have been right. But I still think it like it makes sense. Just like open up possibilities to cause chaos that happens for other people. Like in this type of game, that's what you want. You want chaos and you want people fighting with each other, so that way they're not looking to target you. So I like the thought process.
Derek Boucher says, is TJ's biggest crush on the cast Leroy?
Yeah, I think him and Leroy are very close. Well, they actually do both live in Vegas, so that I do know, and I do think they are friends. Although that goes against my Dario theory.
Well, if anything, it supports your theory because Dario and Leroy couldn't be best friends because Leroy and TJ are best friends.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, I think in this situation, like, TJ is always looking for someone to just like give them the realness and like be strategic and smart about their choices. Like, he can't stand when somebody, you know, it's like reminiscent of like what happened with John A on X's, where he's like, you know, this is your decision, or yeah. wasn't there something like that? Like, you like, often interject if somebody's deflecting responsibility for the vote.
Which is good. You know, I like when the host gets involved and tries like force people to take a stand or do something. So I don't mind when TJ does that at all.
Were you surprised for the girls' side at least to see Camilla's name come up so soon?
The one flaw in Leroy's game is I don't know why it was so necessary for him to say it was Kayla and Camilla. Let someone else say that. Like, if you want to vote Kayla, just vote Kayla. Like, let someone else bring up Camilla's name.
I did think the exact same thing. However, I have to imagine that that was instructed. Like, who was the house deciding between was probably asked of Leroy, and Leroy should have refused. Like, this is the time where, like, producers or the host asks you to do something and you refuse for your game. But in the end, like, is Camilla really going to be out for Leroy in this situation? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But sometimes with Camilla, you just never know what might set her off and she'll focus on. So I think for Leroy's sake, to say like, there's a few names being tossed around, but my vote goes to Kayla. And what else are they gonna say? And other people will say if they want to say Camilla. Although it's interesting, literally no one else voted for Camilla. Like, I think Kayla got every vote, right?
Yeah, in two like pretty almost unanimous votes, there were a couple of interesting moments in the voting. The first is Cara's speech against Tony, but inevitable vote for Emma. What did you think of this here?
Yeah, I think Cara was. This was a good episode for Cara, especially because this is how it played out with Tony, the fact that, you know, she called her shot all the way, that Tony's done nothing, has nothing to prove, and or has everything to prove, and hasn't shown he can do anything, and he proved, I have too many pronouns, he proved her right by failing miserably. So I think her speech was spot on.
And do you think the eventual vote for Ammo was a good move, or do you agree with Jimmy that the house is full of bitch boys who don't want to make grown men decisions?
I think for this vote, it's still fine, because it's hard to get like a whole collection of guys to like agree to make a move, as opposed to like later on we'll see with Nelson. But I mean, there were what, like 7 or 8 people, 9 people voting. So I think it's hard to sway the entire house to do that. But for later on, when it's just one person, you can make your move here. It's very hard to get the house to go against like a rookie guy who, you know, is a clear target in the first stage of the game.
Yeah, I loved this comment from Jemmy, but I really didn't get why this vote was such a big deal. Like, it's kind of just following suit. It's the same reason they voted Brianna in. Like, it just doesn't really make sense to me why people were so upset, except for the fact that, like, they had a shot at a Tony or Bananas crew member and didn't take it. But I'm kind of like, well, you know, it's not that different than what they did with Kayla. Kayla's the outsider. You know, they vote her in. I realized I put Derek Boucher's comment in the wrong section of my notes. When Leroy like gives mad respect to Ammo, but then still votes him in. But yeah. We are already fawned over Leroy.
Yes.
Do we even want to talk about Corey voting for Bananas?
No, I mean, it was like a look at me vote. Like, I mean, obviously it didn't mean anything. Everyone knows he's still going after Bananas anyway. So I think it was just stunned with the way for him to just get the spotlight on him.
It's just, do you think this is like a television time, like getting camera time move? Because the whole thing, because if you are actually taking a shot at them, this is the stupidest possible way to do it by continuing to call them out. I don't really think it's effectively psyching any of the vets out, not the least of which Bananas. And so the only rationale I have for it is that, like, to get as much camera time as possible before you inevitably get sent home.
Yeah, I mean, I think he knows he's gonna have to go on like a massive winning streak to like avoid elimination early on. I think he just can sense that, like, you know, with everyone, all like the major players all rallying against him, eventually one of them is gonna be able to vote him in, and probably multiple times over. So I mean, I don't mind the move of just, you know, if you're going to go all in with this, just go all in and just see what happens. I mean, maybe you get lucky.
I mean, fair enough. I guess I'm just kind of like sick of, it seems like Corey and then even Kayla here, like, just don't really know how things work. Like, when Kayla says, it seems to me like the majority of people wanted Camilla, but somehow my name still came up. Like, that's not how things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, they all voted for you except that, you know, like, it's just like, they're like, I can't believe this. I'm so surprised. You know, Kayla was so shocked. Like you were saying, like, she was an outsider last season. Why is she so shocked?
Right. And like, that's not very good indication for her, like, to eventually do something later in the game, that if you don't know that the entire house is voting for you, like, what does that say about, like, your ability to read and to talk to, like, and get a sense of other people's place in the game?
Right. And it's funny you mentioned knowing that everyone's voting for you, because Brendan Sweeney asked, any opinions on the challenge doing group deliberations and face-to-face votes rather than some kind of hidden nomination? I would think voting in secret would eliminate a lot of this piling on seen most of the time. Perhaps it wouldn't matter, but I think it could be interesting, especially in the most dirty season ever.
No, I kind of like the public votes, because then it allows the people to, like, know who to, like, focus on, or creates, like, especially when there's, like, a swing vote, one person can really, you'll see who the swing vote is, as opposed to, like, just coming back and finding out who's voting out. I'm fine with the way they're doing voting.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, it's funny, I laughed when I saw this question, because I had the same thought when this episode aired of, like, oh, is it, like, too much groupthink? Like, would people be more likely to go against the powers that be if it were anonymous? But this is the challenge. This is how voting's done. It adds to the drama. It stirs up rivalries that feed in through the next episodes. And I think the votes are just more boring early on. Like, as we get into it, it'll be more interesting. So I'm happy with how it is.
Huh?
And then Corey tells Nelson, for no reason, that he should pick Bananas if he gets the double cross. Clayton O'Dell says, how idiotic was Corey to insist that Bananas be the target when he would be up against Ammo? Was that just begging for trouble, or is Corey more concerned with not looking like a beta?
I think for Corey, it's fun because he's made it perfectly clear exactly where he stands. Like, him not voting in Bananas, let's say if he pulls the double cross, it's not going to stop Bananas from wanting to target him. Nelson is with Corey, but he's, like, with Corey adjacent. So if he does the Bananas vote, then it's like, all right, well, maybe if we get the opportunity, we can just go after Nelson. So I think it makes more sense for Corey just to do it, because his intentions are very, very clear. For Nelson, he can potentially eventually try to, like, back away from Corey if things get really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say with the fight at the bar, like, if Nelson has any real intention of playing both sides when he just, like, inserts himself in a fight he doesn't need to. But I agree that he doesn't need to stick his neck out. I do think that picking Tony, and we'll get more into this, but picking Tony was, like, a more reasonable person to have Ammo beat if you really do want to get rid of someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think that Corey has any finesse or, like, mental strategy. He just is just like, you know, you used to say, or I'm sure we'll still say, that Nelson is just sort of like brute force task, like, just, he can win a challenge if it's like, pick this up and run it over there, like, yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like that's Corey's gameplay. Like, Corey doesn't have finesse to this game at all.
No, he really doesn't. And it's going back every season, even like his real world season, I feel like this is just Corey. Like, he's just he has his mind set on something, and he's just going to push it down someone's throat until they just either agree to it or backfires and blows up in his face.
I will say, heading into the elimination, Kayla's comment that she's sort of been, like, prepared for this all day, like, really got me thinking, do you think there's an advantage to being sent in versus being double-crossed?
I mean, I think it's kind of like, it depends on the person, right? Like, I feel like if you're someone who, like, overthinks things and gets stressed out, then it might be better for you to just to be double crossed and thrown in at the last minute, so you're not, like, playing mind games with yourself and getting yourself psyched out. But if you're someone who wants to, like, be able to prepare for something and, like, you know, do whatever you need to do to get your mind set to get in, then you probably would rather go in. But I don't think it's, like, a blanket statement that it's better one way or another. I think it just depends on each individual person.
See, like, I think, like, for me at least, like, I'm going through interview season at law school right now, so I'm thinking in interview terms, but it's like, you can have a million mock interviews, but they're not going to feel the same way as when you're, like, in the real interview. So when you could, I was thinking, like, okay, well, you'd prepare like you could go in, even if you're not sure. And, but it's like, as much as you could say, like, I might go in, I have a 1 in 5 chance of going in, you know, if you're someone like Jenna, who seemed to be really blindsided that she didn't think there was a chance, you can't really get your head in the game if you're someone who needs to do that, which, like, I'm at least someone who would need to do that. But we've already established I would be shit at the challenge. This moment, though, is why you love Jemmy. And when I say you, I mean me personally.
And me.
Like, Okay. It's like, whenever I say you, I really mean me. Whenever I say anyone, I mean me. Jemmy looking around at everyone like she doesn't already know who she's going to vote in, eyeing them up, sending in Jenna, keeping her word that she doesn't owe Jenna shit, understanding the game. I mean, this is great. I like Jenna, but this was great.
Yeah, she had a great theatrics to it. It was the way she even just said Jenna. It was just like so powerful. It was like just a punch, just boom, Jenna. If she had a mic, she would have just dropped it and walked away. It was great. Jemmy's, this is where Jemmy shines. She doesn't shine in like elimination. She shines in the talking head, confessionals, and like when she has like a power move to make and she can make it.
Which is, I think I really talked about Jemmy when I was on with Johnny Langan, because Johnny was like, you love Jemmy, like, what's the deal? And I was like, this, like, she doesn't have to be a good competitor. Like, I've loved her since the moment when her and I in New Orleans said, you're the bestest, you're a mestest. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the Jemmy I love. Ricky Cavalier says, how much do you think the theme having to play a dirty game impacted Jemmy's decision?
I think it definitely impacts people's confessionals just based on their word choices. But I think Jemmy makes his move if the season's called like friendly 30. Like I think Jemmy, this is just what Jemmy does. She has close friends, but at the end of the day, she's going to look out for herself to try to do what's best for her. So I think no matter what the theme is, I think she's going to make this move.
Also, I agree with Tori. Like, how, I mean, it's dirty because Jenna, quote unquote, saved her. But Jenna saved her because Jemmy was the weakest physically of the women left. And, you know, there was no deal made like, hey, I'll save you, you save me later. And, she's not friends with Jenna. And it's no different, I agree with Tori, than wanting to break up Derek and Tori, than wanting to break up two very close friends.
Yeah. They're probably as much in a relationship as Derek and Tori, so it's all good.
Edward Morris says, what do you think of the possible Marie and Nisa, Veronica and Jemmy alliance? So the women who really orchestrated this.
I think that's just like AJ Mass would say, an alliance of convenience. I think they're just like together for now. But I mean, Nisa has shown she has no real loyalty to anyone in particular. And I can't see her like threatening to ruin her game to save Marie in a situation. Like, I think they're doing this because they have a common enemy and a common goal. And when that shifts for someone, their alliance will shift.
I was going to say, I think they're an alliance. I think they're a legit alliance, but because they all have the same goals, like you're saying, like they're the four women who like really need to strategize to see how they can sort of take out, you know, have the other stronger girls work to take out the other stronger girls, like sending in Kayla and Jenna into an elimination where one of them has to go home is one less tough competitor for these four women who maybe wouldn't beat them in a head to head for various different reasons. So I think that's a good move. There is some drama that I don't really understand where Veronica, Marie and Jemmy were doing some sort of FaceTime live book scope, whatever. And I watch it. It's pretty unintelligible. Like somebody tweeted it out and was like, this is Jemmy talking shit about Kayla. And I listened to it and like they definitely said Kayla and they were definitely laughing like mean girls, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. And Kayla was like, oh, that's interesting, because like a week before Jemmy was crying apologizing to me. And so Jemmy apparently is like a lot of talk on the internet and then like apologizes, but so am I, so whatever, unless she said something terrible I don't know about and then I disavow it.
Yeah, that describes the internet. So
so yeah, what do you think? This was hilarious to me, and I keep banging a desk. Sorry, I don't usually do a podcast on a desk. I don't have anything to bang. When Nelson pulls the double cross and says, like, Ammo told me that he wanted Tony.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
What was weirder? Nelson to act as though he had a private conversation with Ammo, and Ammo made, like, a tongue-in-cheek comment that also could have applied to Nelson. Or that Ammo argued with it when it was his best chance at winning.
Yeah, I feel like Ammo would be like, oh, like, who else would he have wanted in that moment? Like, no, please throw, like, it's, I don't remember, like, who was even available besides, like, Bananas, but no, please throw in this person. Like, Tony
was
clearly.
It was, like, Derek, Bananas, some other beast was up there, I forget, yeah. Jordan.
Yeah, but, like, so clearly, although I guess maybe for this challenge, Jordan might have been not a bad person to go up against, but it would have been so clearly Tony. Like, Tony's, like, the complete opposite of Ammo, that anything that Ammo would do great at, Tony would suck in. which includes anything that involves thinking.
Right. So I agree. I thought like Ammo outsmarts Tony every day of the week. Derek K, Bananas, and Jordan are intelligent and could strategize this and not just like brute force it. So I thought it was weird. Maybe Ammo just doesn't want to like be in a position where it seems like he separately called Tony out to Nelson.
Yeah, I think that's more. I think that was more just like call out Nelson for just like trying. He didn't want Nelson to be able to skate by with like a bullshit answer. He wanted to call Nelson on his bullshit.
PJ Gahan says, if you were in Nelson's shoes, who would you have put in to go against Ammo in the elimination?
You know, I don't necessarily even think it's a bad move to do what he did, because like I said, it kind of doesn't put the red light target on Nelson going forward. Like, he could still give him a little flexibility, and Tony is still like in their alliance. Like, Tony's like Banana's right hand man, so getting rid of him and is not like a non-knock to that side of the house, so it's a fine move.
Yeah, I thought it both sides, both men and women, played it well here. When we get to the results, Jenna seems to have a commanding lead through maybe the magic of television, maybe not. It was really close. Were you surprised to see that Kayla won here?
A little bit, although I did like Kayla's ingenuity, the fact that she used like that pickaxe thing to kind of reach up and grab the mud. Although it was very confusing because it seemed like Kayla had mud on her also when it was over, so it was kind of hard to tell who exactly won. But have you seen like now like the supposed rumor going around about Jenna in this elimination?
Yeah. So our Twitter correspondent Megan Elizabeth, who is amazing and is, you know, everywhere I can't be, ear to the ground on the drama. I assume you're talking about this. Jemmy tweeted that Jenna let her win, her being Kayla. She said it that night and she still believes it tonight when she tweeted this.
So do you buy it?
I love that Jemmy's tweeting that. I don't buy it. I don't know any. I don't know if there any more has come out besides Jemmy saying that, if like Jenna has addressed it. I don't know why Jenna would throw it unless she was like upset or there was something going on back home. But I just really do think like it was really close. They're both pretty evenly matched. I was surprised because I thought this was really Jenna's to lose. She has the height. She has the experience, and everyone was supporting her. I don't know why she'd take a dive for Kayla here.
Yeah, I don't really buy it either. Also, I mean, if she threw it, she made it very close to throw it. Like, it's unless she was literally just standing at the top and not moving and waiting for Kayla just to win, then I feel like they would have made a more of a point to show that. But I mean, Jenna seemed like she was like seconds away from winning. So if she threw it, she was like, give her the Academy Award.
And yeah, considering the source, like, just stop, Jimmy. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Jillian Nicole wants to know, though, do you think Camilla would have won if she was chosen? So in that situation, I don't think Camilla was up for the double cross, right? Or no, she was. So in both situations, if they had went Camilla instead of Kayla, Camilla v. Jenna, or if she was chosen against Kayla, which Jimmy said she never would have done, who do you think comes out on top?
I think Camilla would have a better chance against Kayla, just because it's even more of a height difference if she went up against Jenna. But against Kayla, I think it's a pretty even match. It's hard to tell with this elimination. It seems like something that you kind of have to get like a rhythm to find like the hole in the wall. It's not like that other elimination where it's really just punching the wall and climbing. Like, I think there's a little more luck to it. It's not as straightforward. So I mean, I think it would be a coin flip.
You're leaving me open for just such a lazy hole joke like Bananas made to start out the boys challenge. That really put me in the wrong mindset for the competition.
Wrong mindset is where Tony thrives.
Yeah, so Tony loses
in Ralphie fashion.
You alright?
I forgot.
It's always hard if it's Ralphie or Rafi.
I honestly don't remember. I just said both. So
yeah, we all know the answer to this question. We got two versions of it. Someone wrote in specifically asking you. But Randy Newpool's the one I pulled, and he said, after his own admission that he sucks at challenges, are we done with Tony? So, Brian, are you done with Tony on the challenge?
I'm not totally done. I do think he needs to take a season or two off and kind of reevaluate his life.
I just think when you look at his trajectory in the challenge, like, are we done saying that Tony is a good competitor at least?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like I went on a little bit of a rant here in my notes, and I'm not as angry as I was now as I was when I watched the episode. But like, he really is Brandon Hans to me at this point. For anyone who doesn't watch Survivor, Brandon Hans is severely mentally ill. and with Tony, like, he just doesn't have the intelligence. Like, as I was saying about Corey, Bananas, like, isn't great at puzzles, or he'll say he's not good at puzzles, but he's still intelligent, and you need to be able to sort of channel your muscles, which I don't even think Tony has, but you have to be able to challenge your strength through an intelligent lens, looking at these, a strategic lens. And I agree with him when he says, like, maybe I'm just not cut out for the challenge. But when he says that, oh, I deserve this, this is my karma, I'm catching where I wouldn't even be in this position if I didn't do what I did last night. Like, we see Tony taking ownership. But I don't buy it, because I'm sure in a month he'll be drunk somewhere saying that it was somebody else's fault and something, you know, it wasn't his fault for getting kicked off. It's never been. He fights. He gets drunk. It's never his problem when he gets kicked out. The only time it really wasn't his fault is when his spleen exploded. I'll give him that. Yes. This was his fault. I hope I don't have to hear him again bitching and moaning at the reunion that he blaming someone else, because I'm really sick of him having these like revelations that he's changed. I'm not saying he's never going to change, but this new Tony bullshit, like, I almost fell for it. And like, clearly there is no new Tony, and I'm not willing to see him on the show again until there actually is. I don't think it's entertaining. I think it's pathetic. I did make it sound like I'm not going to watch if he's back on. I'll still watch because here I am on the podcast, but I'll be upset about it.
Yeah. I think he definitely needs to. Like, well, I don't know if he will be. I think there's a good chance he probably will be on next season, just because, I mean, he is like just like one of the more compelling, bigger names that they've had from one of the more recent Real Worlds. So I think there's a good chance he will be back. But I do think it would be better for everyone involved if he was not.
I will say I was surprised. MTV dragged him in this episode. Like, all of the sound bites of how much Tony sucks, Camilla making that speech that Amo has outperformed him in two challenges than he has in his whole career. They really let him have it, unless he somehow comes back from redemption to win. And then it's like, all right, well, I'm going to show myself. So maybe that's his arc this season. Time will tell, but I would have thought the same thing, except for how much they dragged him.
Yeah. We'll have to see, but the two Reigns brothers, not their challenge careers are not great.
Shifting gears a little bit, Jennifer Jones says, do you like or dislike the slower format of this episode? We only got the one elimination, zero main challenges. So basically, how did the pacing work for you?
I mean, I'm fine with it, because it didn't end. It actually ended like where an episode should end with post-elimination. So I'm cool with that. I don't want to see two episodes to cover one challenge, one elimination. I would like to try to condense that going forward, but I did like a little more delving into like the strategy. I thought like the deliberation talk was one of the more fascinating deliberations they've had in a while. There's like a lot of different point of views. I'd rather them focus a little more on that when they actually had that to dig into.
I agree. I tend to go based on like how I'm feeling during the episode. Like, if an episode ends on a to be continued, but I enjoyed the episode like last week, okay. This week it only covered one challenge, but I enjoyed it throughout. I didn't feel like it felt long, so I'm okay. A lot of people have written in, and you said this at the top of the show, that this is like the best format we've had in a while. A lot of listeners have said that this fixes all the holes in free agents. As of now, I tend to agree, but is this format flawed because it's based on the number of the season and potentially then can't be duplicated?
Why can't they duplicate this format? Just because the amount of people?
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's all based on it being Dirty 30. So what do they call it? Dirty 30?
I think they could just do free agents too, and just bring the double cross into that instead of like the skull draw. That's basically what this is. This is free agents, but they just changed the draw.
So I think they can do it, but I do kind of think like it was a misstep. It's like Rob usually talks about this, like when you name an alliance and you never name it like the Sexy Six or whatever, because you don't want to give it a number in case you have to add people or drop people. That's how I feel about this. Like, we didn't really need to call it something based on 30.
That's fair.
So we could, you know, the challenge always brings its formats back based on the name of the season. So I don't know. I hope we see it again. Jeff Satora says, thoughts on revealing the Redemption House next week? Is it too early in the game?
I think it's too early, unless... I mean, it's although it's part of the thing, we don't actually know like what happens. Like maybe the Redemption House is like they all compete and like they have to beat everyone for someone to join. So maybe not everyone, not necessarily someone to join next week. We still don't know, shockingly, about MTV, but we don't know the rules of it. So when we know the rules of it, we'll be able to like determine is this too early. But it seems like it's too early. So there's only what, like 6 people even in there?
I feel like I'm trapped in the game and I don't know the rules. Any league fans? Okay. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. How many? I don't know how many people are in there. It's Darrell, Devin, Tony, Shane's gone, Simone's gone. So yeah, and then the 3 women are Latoya, Amanda, and Jenna. I think that's it. I'm just off the top of my head. Didn't even reach into Wikipedia.
Yep. Good job by you.
How do you like that?
Killed it.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about bananas. I've said a lot about bananas. I think you've taken a lot on the chin about bananas in the past few seasons. So we'll give you the stage here. Erica Flynn says, maybe it's on Twitter, she wrote to us, maybe it's because I'm watching at 2 a.m., but am I alone in thinking bananas is coming off really well this season?
I don't even think he's coming off that differently. I think he's kind of more like the focal point of attack. So I think, you know, it's always easier to side with someone when they're like, not like the victim, but like the person who's like under the scrutiny, as opposed to when he's pushing his will on others. So I think it's kind of easier to side with him. But like if they get Corey out of the house and now he's running things, I think things, people's opinions will change very quickly.
See, I think he is coming off differently because in past seasons where I've hated him the most, he's been the lone wolf sort of leading all the sheep to slaughter and all these people are bending to his will. Here we have CT and Derek sort of sharing the brunt of the Vet Alliance control. Like Bananas is able to really defer a lot of his responsibilities and control to CT, who's saying, I want ammo. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's also what Bananas would have wanted. So it's sort of allowing Bananas to take a back seat, be a little lighter, although his jokes aren't getting any better. Tend to Tony, which is a nice side of him. I don't hate Bananas. I've always said I hate Bananas, but I like, don't really hate him. I think he's important on the show when there are either people that can rival him. Now we have a field of some of the strongest men we've ever had on one season together. It's not just a cakewalk for him. He's not acting like that. We're seeing him actually have to exercise some restraint and say, you know, whatever you guys want to do, defer to his crew. Leroy's also in there taking some of the brunt. So I wrote back to somebody who wrote about like Bananas, also EMOERD33 on Twitter, that I've been sick of him and his machismo, BS, and hypocrisy, but I actually think he's been a bright spot on this season. So we're not seeing him be so hypocritical. We're not seeing him have to deny ownership for anything yet. So for now, I'll play nice with Bananas, and I hope this continues.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to see how his trajectory goes when he's in position of power. I don't think he's really, because he hasn't really been in a true position of power yet, so we'll see.
But I do think you're right. Like, if we get back to the old Bananas, we'll all be complaining again. I already think Megan Elizabeth, the keeper of the keys here, but she did send us some more happenings on social media this week. First off, Tony is subtweeting Nelson and just says, Nelson, no effing comment. And Nelson says, I think you mean at MTV Nelly T. The reason I'm reading this on the air, and then he says a purple devil emoji. Can I just ask you a question about subtweeting?
Sure.
People are like, oh, don't at me, or like, you know, celebrities or reality TV personalities or whatever, you know, will say, don't talk shit and send it to me. Like, I don't want to see that. And then people also get mad when you subtweet. So what is the protocol? Should I talk shit and at people or not? Because not talking shit isn't the answer.
So you're saying reality stars are like hypocritical and they don't really know what they want and they're just like attention whores that like complaining about stuff?
In this case, I'm talking about Stephen Fishback, but so you said it on me. I feel like he always is like, don't at me garbage.
I think subtweeting is not even when it's if you don't put any name in. Like if I just like say like like thinking of better days. Like that could, like that's how you subtweet, right? Like I don't know what that line. I just had to think of any random line. That's what
that's
I thought.
Amazing.
But like when you say like the person's name, that's not even subtweet. Subtweet is when you're like being vague about who you're talking about.
See, I thought it was both. I thought it was like if you're like, you know, you just broke up with someone and you're like couldn't be happier, like yeah. Man's out of my life. Okay, you're subtweeting, but I also think if you write Nelson, like you're subtweeting him by not adding him. But I don't know. We'll leave it to the group. Tony also kind of went on a bender where he just wrote mama's boy, hashtag the challenge XXX. My mom is beautiful, the challenge XXX. Like I actually still don't think he understands what happened and still thinks that Kara talks shit about his mom.
Tony, he could probably see himself on TV and think that's just a different person because it's not him drunk. So.
And then he says, Kara knows just outright saying she wants to vote me in because she doesn't. Kara knows just outright saying she wants to vote me in because she doesn't like me wouldn't work, so she made up excuses. Here we go. Here's Tony blaming someone else. Now it's not his actions coming back to him. It's Kara just not liking him. Yeah. Okay.
How about you just don't fall off the top of the wall, Tony, and then you won't have to be complaining.
Kara did also say she doesn't like you because you were a dick. Like this isn't, it's not like she just doesn't like you for no reason. And then Tony says, I've done 3 seasons before this and I've only been eliminated once. First season, injury. Second season, DQ. Third season, eliminated. So here comes tough talking Tony. Now all of that remorseful change Tony is dead already. Timestamp 1 second after the episode.
Also, DQ is on you, dude. Like, no one forced you to get obliteratedly drunk and like threatened to beat up Camilla. Like, that's not still on you.
It was Camilla's fault.
Oh, right. Obviously.
And then finally, and this is starting to really depress me, and this is where I start to feel guilty because the challenge is really just enabling Tony and making Tony think his actions are not problematic and not in that he doesn't need help for it. He says somebody, Jim Weber tweeted, side to side mugshots of Johnny. Oh, what's his name? Manziel. How do you pronounce that?
Manziel.
Okay. And said, can we talk about how Tony is the Johnny Manziel of the challenge? Booze and women have totally derailed promising pro careers. And Tony retweeted it and said, only difference is I still got a job. Hashtag challenge season SZN. Hashtag the challenge XXX. And it's like, this is the thing. Tony faces no consequences for his actions. Like, and it's just, we're still on the train.
Not great, Bob.
Also, not a great way to end a show. Do you have any other brighter spots?
Not brighter, but apparently there's like a rumor. I don't know if it's necessarily a rumor or it's fact that now Brad and Tori are not together and Brad is with Kellyanne. Have you seen this like floating around the interwebs?
Shut the front door.
That's what popped up in the challenge discussion today.
Your Long Island mouth. Are you kidding me?
I've heard it popped up on Venmo, whichever the non-payment one is.
Get out.
Yeah. Out.
So. That's it? That's all you have? You're going to come in with a piping hot tea?
That's all I know.
And not give me any ice
that's
to
all
cool
I know.
My mouth down with?
I know. That's all I know. That Tori and Brad are done, and Brad is with Kellyanne. So we can pick up on that next week.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to mention the rumored champs versus all-stars.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily being rumored. I think that's just like, there's another one coming. But Emily Strong is back, so yay.
And what's good about that is previously reported that someone from Teen Mom had been reached out to. Hopefully that was for this and not for like an actual season of the challenge. So the challenge won't be completely dead as predicted. I am going to have to go just take an ice bath and sit with my Instagram and Venmo and whatever it is to try and get to the bottom. My heart is racing, Brian. You can't leave me on this note.
Go dig.
All right. I think we need to have a hashtag for this episode because if you didn't get to the end, we need to start at the top of the show with this Kellyanne and Brad news. So hashtag thinking of a better day if you got to the end and had a sip of the tea that Brian is serving.
The Bori is done.
Let's not celebrate the end of someone's marriage because now it's like Chris Pratt and Anna Faris first. Now Tori and Brad.
Does love even exist?
Love is dead, but hashtag thinking of a better day.
And you can follow me on Twitter @ColinBryan_. They can follow you.
I'm having just palpitations. You can follow me at Lash Tweets.
We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, have a good one.